Welcome to Polycast, a civilization podcast focused on game strategy. Dan Q.
Makalua.
The Mian Team.
Mad Jin.
You sound very AM radio today.
Oh man, does this mic sound that bad?
Nah, it's not too bad. You got a bit of a twang going on there.
Yeah, It's unusual. It's not awful.
All right, someone break out the banjo. Let's start singing country songs.
Oh, God, don't.
Mackie's like, I just got here. I can leave.
No, she's the singer, obviously. I mean, they are country songs.
Why does everybody assume this about Texas? Don't you think people listen to other things here, like rock, perhaps?
What? You mean that countrified stuff? That's not rock.
You tell good jokes, man.
No. I like how Mackie took that as a slight against Texans. That was great.
That's true, too.
Spring is easy top, and you assume all we can do is country?
What's wrong with country, Mackie?
It could be Western.
Just so you know, the next DLC civ is Texas.
Yeah, that'll happen right before Canada.
While Mackie gives us and the rest of the internet the collective look of death. Welcome to episode 181 of Polycast. I'm Dan Q, and I'm joined by the Mean Team.
Greetings to the audience.
Imagine.
If you're going to burn your house down, at least do it while I'm not recording.
And Mackie. There is a hotfix for Civilization 5 that has been released, and this is for all versions of Civ 5, not just the new and shiny Brave New World. And yes, it is. Brave New World is still new enough that we can call it new, and we can still call it shiny, even though there is a fall patch on the way. But this is the in-between Brave New World release and fall patch.
Although technically, most, if not all of it, is for Brave New World.
This is true, however, and it is only for PC right now. There is no Mac version yet. They have two extra steps of approval.
Yeah, they have to go through Apple and blah, blah, blah.
On top of 2K and for Access. So this is more than just a quote-unquote hotfix, as it were. Some people argued it's coming a little late to be a hotfix, and it's like there's no time stamp on a hotfix. It's one of those things where we don't have time for a full patch yet, but we need to fix something right now. And it was already pointed out actually by Dennis Shirk, the lead producer for Brave New World, that stuff was already in progress.
Yeah, so take that. If you don't like it, too bad.
No, I don't want my game to be patched.
Yeah.
What's under the heading of Crash, which actually isn't my favorite heading from this hotfix release notes, but we'll get to that. We pretty well discussed every one of these things on episode 178 of Polycast when we had Dennis and Ed Beach, lead designer of Brave New World, on the show. From the fix to crash that it could occur when users try to replace a farm with another improvement.
Modders will be happy. That would be the farm bug crash that they're constantly hating.
There was the very specific crash when attempting to unlock the Raiders of the Lost Ark achievement. It also affected human Washington players who were completing an archaeological dig in neutral territory. I've seen some people like, this was purposeful. And I'm like, how is this purposeful? Yeah.
Let's purposely screw you over if you play our game. Burp.
That segues well into fix under AI. The number of archaeologists built by the AI is now more reasonable. Now, you notice it says more reasonable. It doesn't say it's actually reasonable. But I will take more reasonable because, I could build an archaeologist for this antiquity site. Or I'm kind of already in this war with this other person. And look at all those archaeologists they've just got sitting around the map. You know what? I don't think I need to build an archaeologist. I'll just build another unit to go take the AIs.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Yeah. That one should be good, though. Basically, they're not going to build more archaeologists if there's less artifacts on the map. Since it's a global number, like, and everybody knows how many artifacts are actually on the map, no one person should have more archaeologists than the number of remaining artifacts. Because what are you going to do with it? Just sit around and sing kumbaya? And
under balance. I saw a few people argue on CFC, shouldn't this have been under exploit, which there's a separate heading for that.
It's under, it's fixed. Deal with it.
Well, it was so much exploit, but it was exploitative. Lots to be purchased with faith by Siam instead of universities. So I was listening saying, I don't understand why would someone say that this is an exploit? Well, you could go ahead and build or purchase with gold Watts, which is the unique building for Siam that places the university. But then you could complete the piety tree and select Jesuit education to build universities with faith.
That reminds me of the Greenery Terrace combo in Civ 4. Oh my gosh, that was ridiculous. It's not as bad, actually. The university one is less bad. You would, because each one fills your food bar by half upon growing, if you have two of them, yeah, you can see where I'm going with this.
This next one under user interface, oh my gosh, this was certainly not being experienced by everybody, but I have been experiencing this for more than a year. And this was what I not so affectionately referred to as the auto annex bug. You'd go in, you'd take a city, there'd be no dialogue to prompt you, do you want to raise, puppet, or annex the city? It was automatically annexed. Now, you could do this while you were still in that game, short of saving it and reloading it, or in multiplayer, for example, having to rehost the game or having an out-of-sync issue, because the happiness hit would be negligible. But then you would be very crying sad face if you tried to return to that game, and suddenly you went from 10 happy to like 25 unhappy because you went on this rampage. So what I was doing is I had to consciously tell myself, A, I don't want that to happen. B, this is going to get fixed eventually, so I better not get used to this. So I was forcing myself to hit F6 and then F6 again, which would take me to the technology tree screen window and then back again. But this dialogue box was also affecting, for instance, in single player, you meet a city state for the first time, or you go into a ruin and you would not get that dialogue prompt. So if you let that go long enough, you could hit F6 a couple of times and then you'd have dialogue blocks where you'd have to go click. Click, click, click. It could be particularly obnoxious. So honestly, if that was the only thing that was included in this hot fix, I would be happy because that was extremely annoying. The other one under user interface, which was the Declare War UI, now displays whether the players have created a declaration of friendship or denounced each other. There's also now a turn counter specifically how long the declaration of friendship or denouncement can last. However, there has been an issue that I've seen raised in the forums that this counter stalls. That what will happen is it's bugged. It will always show 49 turns left for all denouncements and does not decrease from that number as turns progressed. And I have seen that myself. The only other issue that I saw with regards to this patch was land game saves are broken. No other save games are broken. And the reason for this is because in this hotfix, the game switches from the Steam name to the computer name, which causes a problem joining the game as the game thinks you are a different human player. But there is a fix over at Civilization-TR. That's a circumvention, a workaround until such a time as this issue from this patch is fixed in another patch. There's a bunch of stuff on modding, which you can hear about on Modcast Episode 50 over at thepolycast.net in a month or two. And exploit. Venice can no longer annex cities through the strategic view. Venice can no longer annex cities that were previously their puppet, captured by another player, then recaptured as Venice. In short, Venice can no longer annex cities.
Come on now. Really? Just going into the strategic view to be able to annex cities? I mean... Come on.
Well, the sad part was some people actually do play in strategic mode normally.
Yeah.
So they found it fast.
Yeah, I'm sure. But it's really not how the Civ was intended to be played. I mean, I know that Civ in general throws out any semblance of balance when creating civilizations, but it's a little extreme.
Yeah, when the game says, you're supposed to have puppets, you knew it was going to get fixed.
Under multiplayer, the game now allows read-in custom maps from any maps directory, not just the main game maps, and unlock the rest of the map scripts for multiplayer play. There were some that were previously not hooked in from earlier releases. I call this the derp correction. Patch is 14.8 megabytes, and if for some reason you haven't had it pushed to you yet, you've probably been logged into Steam for a while, and why don't you just give it a swift kick in its butt and just restart it, and it'll probably start downloading then right away. That's what I had to do. We have two new civilizations to talk about, but first, changes to existing civilizations. Arabian special ability is now ships of the desert. Caravans gain 50% extended range. Your trade routes spread the home city's religion twice as effectively, and oil resources are doubled. Their previous ability was +1 gold from each connected trade route, and oil resources provide double quantity, so that did not change. And the Iroquois, really what you have here, an append. Caravans move along forest and jungle as if they were roads. That's really the addition. The rest units move through territory and jungle and friendly territory as if it were a road. And these tiles can be used to establish trade routes upon researching the wheel. So you don't need to worry about, for example, harbors on the coast or connecting roads if you're landlocked, whatever. You could use that as well. Now for France. You're no longer going to get +2 culture per turn from cities before discovering steam power. Instead, tied into the changes to the culture system, so it's still culture-related. City of Light, Museum and World Wonder theming bonuses are doubled in their capital. We now have a unique improvement. The unique unit of the Foreign Legion can appear at some other point in the game. We'll get to that eventually. Instead, you've got the Chateau, available at Chivalry. Must be adjacent to a luxury resource. It provides 1 additional gold and 2 culture, still providing the same 50% defense bonus as a fort. It's a fort replacement. But when flight is researched, its culture yield increases by 1 and its gold output rises by 2. Yes, it must be built in French territory, and no, it may not be adjacent to another chateau.
How awesome would that be? Your entire territory is just chateaus.
Moving on to new civilizations.
Ah, yes.
One is completely new, and one is, well, welcome back new, but you know what I'm getting at, Phil.
Okie dokie, Indonesia. Its ability is Spice Islanders. First 3 cities founded on continents other than where Indonesia started each provide 2 unique luxury resources and can never be raised. I think that would be just a smidge map-dependent, but you can find something to plant a city on, I guess, even if it's a junker and you don't want it. That's all right. Do you know offhand whether selling a city after getting the unique resource loses you access? Because you can't raise the luxury resource away.
Yeah, no, you can't, because the luxury resource gets placed on the city tile, so it becomes an actual thing on the tile.
Oh, okay, so gifting the city away wouldn't work, at least not for you.
Yeah, only the person who's in control of it gets access to luxuries. It just happens to dump it there.
All right. Oh, you want some islands for that one, I'm afraid. But
Oh, and it replaces, it literally removes and replaces what is on the tile. So don't drop it on top of something else.
At least, like, not something you want.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, if there's bananas there. But basically, yeah, don't drop it on the iron or any strategic source or settle on a marble, because you're not going to get extra. It'll all just disappear. Same for food resources. All just goes away.
Their unique unit is the Chris Swordsman. It has a ranged attack strength of 0. LOL. No, I'm just kidding. Strength 14 replaces the Swordsman, and it has an interesting ability. Probably not my favorite, but it has one called Mystic Blade. A promotion after your first combat, Mystic Blade gets replaced with a random promotion. You know, it could be really useful, or maybe not, but it's probably, at least, it's never harmful, because it's not...
Well, it's not like playing the Civil War scenario in Brave New World and getting a promotion that's actually a negative, or however exactly that works, but at the same time, it's a bit... I can't even believe I'm going to invoke this. It's a bit kind of random events for me.
Well, yeah. Having done through a game with Indonesia, there's one promotion that lets you you get a full heal when you kill a unit. That's not a bad one. But some of the other ones are just kind of eh.
Yeah, but it doesn't, like, use up your experience tier. So it's never, like, a strict harmful thing to draw. You just don't get any use out of that particular promotion, possibly. So it could be worse, certainly.
Could be.
It could be.
Building is candy.
Bad. Very bad. +2
replaces the garden. 25% great people generation and +2 peace faith for each world religion that has at least 1 follower in the city. Yeah, and it must be built next to a river or lake.
Yeah. Say I'm a hater or whatnot, but of all the new civilizations, Indonesia is my least favorite. I'm sorry. I want to like it, but...
I like having the extra luxuries. It's just it's a pain in the rear having to go settle to get all those, you know? Although you do get, I think, a little bit more from the AI since they're unique. In trade deals, I mean.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to whether or not you can take advantage of the unique ability. Because if you really can't, then it starts
getting... Yeah, don't play Indonesia on a Pangea map, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
Actually, you still can.
Sure. You can play as any civ in any scenario.
Well, no, that's the thing. With Indonesia, the Chris Swordsmen are pretty... solid. I've seen the AI actually use Chris Swordsman to wipe out three AIs that are attacking it at the same time. I mean, yeah, you can get some pretty crappy negative promotions going with them, but you can get some pretty powerful ones as well. Candy's usually pretty good. So Pangea map, you're going to get more religions coming to your cities than you would if you were off by yourself. The only problem there is the Islander part. But even then, even on a Pangea map, there are islands around. You just might not get them early.
Yeah.
So,
top
I mean,
tier. Stamped.
I'm not sure about top tier, but not going to fail hard.
No. Yeah. We have worse civs in the game, I guess. They're middle tier, solidly?
Yeah, I'd say. Depending on if you have iron.
Yeah, if you don't have iron.
No iron, you're sure.
You're just...
No iron, no islands, LOL.
Yep.
Hope you like candy.
Candy.
There's a promotion that I prefer much more so.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a segue to the Zulu. Do I have to spell this out?
It's Phil's really? Favorite civ. He's so happy Shaka is back.
Yes. Yes. Shaka doesn't look quite as obnoxious in Civ 5. You know, he looks a bit more realistic, as do many of the leaders. But I kind of missed the whole trolling Shaka aspect. But I like Shaka, and I like Shaka in Civ 5. He's still awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can you have a Civ game without the Zulu? Come on.
I don't know. We did for, like, what, almost
2 years. Right. So, unique ability, Akiwa. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. I usually mispronounce things as a matter of course. Melee units cost 50% less maintenance, and all units receive 25% more experience from combat. I wonder what direction this particular ability tends to make you
culture.
Want to go.
Culture.
Yeah, culture. Open up with honor and get culture.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not talking about the Aztecs.
Yeah, you autocratic culture.
Yeah, it's just quote-unquote culture.
Until you win culture.
Unique unit is, of course, the MP. You have to have the MP. Mm-hmm. It places the pike, has 16 strength, and an interesting ability called Spear Throw. Basically, it gives you a first strike for use of 4 fans. Before engaging in melee, this unit has an extra attack. And, of course, it retains its anti-mounted properties. I want a Spear Throw off of, like, my infantry, you know, just have them. They still throw a spear, though. Like, literally, yeah. They throw the spear.
They still have one.
It hurts like
just
crazy.
Bayonets, they have spears.
Yeah. And it hurts like crazy because of the infantry strength. And then they fight like normal infantry otherwise. Yeah, they're just mauled by the Spear Throw.
Yeah. Yeah, the MP upgrade to rifles, unlike everybody else's pikes.
Yeah.
It's a good thing for them because it keeps their core melee units still on the core melee line rather than having spear chucking lancers.
Not to mention the get to keep the maintenance down that way too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's handy.
You've got this pikeman replacement that's this extra attack. It costs 50% less, and then it gets more attacks, and it requires 25 less experience to earn their next promotion. And then if that wasn't good enough, there's this unique building that just kind of completes this wonderful picture.
Ah, yes, the Akonda. Again, has to be there with the Zulu. I miss its old benefit. This one looks good, too. Replaces barracks, grants unique promotions to pre-gunpowder melee units.
And that includes, long swords.
Now I can already hear some people saying, now, wait a minute, Dan, you just railed on Indonesia for having the Mystic Power promotion and it being random. It's going to grant a unique set of promotions? Well, you don't know necessarily what that's going to be, Dan. How can you say that's so good then? Ha, ha, ha. It's because it's kind of the next thing in line on top of everything else they already have going for it. That's why.
Yeah, you're really stacking one particular path with the Zulu pretty hard, and it's great. And if you spawn next to Shaka early game, you just smile to yourself because you know it's going to be a great game.
Kind of like my India LP. Turned
just
into
let Shaka take everyone else out for you.
Yeah, it turned into a Feed the Beast mod.
Mm-hmm. Find out more over at blog.magin.ca. I like saying internet addresses out loud. Did you know that?
Well, you could have just read out the playlist. That would take longer, though.
Well, yeah.
No.
Exactly. I'm not sure if Mackie's sufficiently caffeinated yet to deal with that. So
nope.
Instead of consideration for, you know, the only woman on the internet.
So
you
better be sufficiently caffeinated to do something.
Basically, don't mess with the Zulu. Either kill them before they get to medieval era, or wait till after they get to the industrial era. Because those impies will be powerful for a long time.
Yep, taking on the Zulu, a.k.a. poking the bear.
Yep. Speaking about poking bears.
How does that really-
I have no idea how that segues into technology changes, but okay.
We're going to poke bears with sticks? What?
Sounds good to me.
So for Brave New World, there's a bunch of little things, mostly, changed on the tech tree. Ancient era, bronze working now reveals iron. Even though you still have to go to ironworking if you want your heroic epic and colossus and your swordsman, but at least you'll know where it is earlier, so you're not waiting until way, you know, like 50 turns to the game. Where's my iron? Oops, I settled where there's no iron. Welp. Classical now. To drama and poetry, we have added the Parthenon and the Writers Guild, which is part of some of the new tourism stuff. This is how early you can get started on it. This is why you see people that are going cultural, like, say, Catherine, build the Parthenon all the time. At least in my game, she builds it all the time. I don't know.
I thought they just built it because it's on the way to civil service.
Well, no, but then they actually Catherine at least will actually put stuff in it and use it. It's for me.
Well, it comes with a free one.
Yeah.
Build the Writer's Guild. You would like an additional social policy, wouldn't you?
You would like a social policy, would you?
You would like social policies full stop?
Well, what I'm saying is if people are like, oh, I don't want to dump a couple of specialists, you know, into the Writer's Guild for an extended period of time, fine, you should do it at least once for that earlier game. Hey, look at that. There's an additional social policy. And, oh, look at that. I'm going to get another social policy next turn, too.
If you want to get culture beyond your fourth or fifth social policy, basically your first tree, you're going to need to run those guilds because that's your primary source of culture for quite some time. Anywho.
Horseback riding also has the caravansary, which will give you bonuses to your land trade routes and let you trade further.
Very useful.
Yeah, especially that second part.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you have it, it's just out of reach of somebody's capital and you really want to trade their capital because that's usually a better trade route.
Yeah, and there's no way to get to it by sea. Yeah.
Uh-huh. You could spend like 10 gold per turn on those roads that you draw all the way to them, but... Yeah, that kind of defeats the purpose of the trade route.
Sure is, yeah. Yeah, you only get +4 back from the trade route. Yeah, this 10 gold roll is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
All the better to move your military units over there.
And there's no maintenance costs on the caravansary. You don't even lose 1 gold per turn to maintain it. Makes it even sweeter.
It's your earliest trade route booster before you get harbors way further down the tree. So if you have a lot of land trade routes, it's worth building those in the cities you're using that from, which is usually mostly your capital. Medieval era, theology has an interesting new wonder, Borobudur. Gives you some faith in such and culture, but then also 3 missionaries instantly. Why is it always the AI builds this and tries to spam me with their stupid religion?
Because it's the here's my religion spam wonder.
Well, yes, I know that in a practical sense, but at the same time, stop spamming with your stupid religion. It sucks.
Build it first.
Okay, after I get Shaka off my back, sure.
Oh, it's okay, Mackie. Just declare war before they spread it to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then take out their missionary and then, you know, get rid of it for spite.
In other words, play Shaka?
Well, if you want to role play, sure.
Guilds get some fun new stuff. It gets you the East India Company. Supposedly it attracts more land trade routes to the city you build in.
Mm-hmm.
And the Artist Guild, which is another one of the let's get some more culture things. Also, let's get more Golden Ages thing. At least that's me with great artists late in later eras. I tend to go, nah, Golden Age.
Yeah, there's a certain point where the extra great work doesn't really matter.
Yeah, or you just flat run out of room.
Yeah, or you're just not going culture.
In the Renaissance, It's your third guild type with acoustics. You have musicians' guilds. So, what, for the whole time nobody knew how to play music until acoustics?
I just think no one actually called it music or someone being a musician. It was just people who made lots of noise. You noisemaker!
Were you about to tell them to get off your lawn?
Exactly.
Printing press. We now have the zoo replacing the theater.
Yeah, the star attraction, by the way, is the Polycast regular panel. Look for the troll.
One of the last living real life trolls. We named him Phil. Anyway, and also Globe Theater. Just like you had the Parthenon for sticking all your other great works in, now here's the Globe Theater. Here's another place for all your great works. It's going to multiply by a lot.
Makes sense.
And also, architecture is where you unlock Uffizi, but you have to also go aesthetics for that. But it is another building that let me stick my cultural things in here so that I may multiply them and shoot tourism through the roof. One more thing. Red Fort, under metallurgy.
Increasing the strength of the defensive buildings in your city, 25%.
Reminds me of Himeji.
Combined. OP! Let's start a thread right now.
It's too much defense, what?
Exactly.
Industrial area changes. The most important one is what they did to archaeology. Because now archaeology is actually a thing you want. I mean, it's not that museums weren't useful before, but it's more, oh, only if you're going for culture. But even if you're not really culture going, you kind of want archaeology so you can sit archaeologists or at least sit people on your ruins and go, you can't have my artifacts. Stop stealing them. Reveals the antiquity sites. It lets you use your archaeologists, which is our new unit, to make an archaeological dig. And you could have landmarks or you could have shiny artifacts. Just depends on what you want. Or if it's close to a city or not. You know, if it's out in the middle of nowhere, there's no point in making a landmark.
That's right. And your archaeologist units, it's either Indiana Jones or Lara Croft, depending upon your mood.
I think they're intended to be Indiana Jones, given the names of some of the achievements in the modern era. Kremlin used to be down at metallurgy. It got moved up to railroad. But also you have to go for the order ideology as well. You can't just build it just because you want to, unfortunately. Refrigeration, you get hooked. What does refrigeration have to do with hotels? That just makes no sense. There were hotels before refrigeration.
Gotta put them somewhere.
Radio has one new addition, namely Broadway, which we had before in Civ 4, but we hadn't had up until now, which is where you're going to want to put all of your great musicians that you've been getting because of the bonuses. But I think it also wants them all to be like from the same era. So I hope you're still producing great musicians, or you produced a lot all in one era. Flight gives Prora.
Requires autocracy.
Atomic Arrows adds the airports at radar, which we miss being able to airlift units. Those are fun. Bazookas over at nuclear fission. What does bazookas have to do with nuclear fission? Once you get explosives, you could have bazookas. I not get it.
It's just about balance for when you get stuff.
So they could have stuck it at rocketry as well if they wanted. They just want it to be right about there.
Mm-hmm. At rockets, you already get rocket artillery, so...
Mm.
And rocketry is on the path for science victory, so it would just stack up multiple really powerful units for the science victory people.
But we're supposed to fight everyone off with XCOM units. Oh, wait, I haven't got to that yet.
Jeez.
Now we're into the information era. Telecommunications, in addition to, you already got fun things like the CN Tower, but now you get a National Visitor Center, which is a big, big culture bonus. Really, in your capital, that's where you're going to have most of your culture. Do you drop that in there? I think it's 50%, isn't it?
Tourism boost.
And the internet, this is one that makes sense to me. It doubles tourism, because now we're going to read online about, visit scenic Zululand, now with 100% war.
Lolcats.
I don't think Lolcats doubles your tourism. But the last thing is my favorite thing, nanotechnology. We have XCOM squads. Yay! Sorry. It's kind of fun to go when you go for win the science victory and then you hit just one more turn and then whatever AI was bugging you the whole game, you just go drop a bunch of XCOM squads in their face. So as we all know, since we've been playing Brave New World for a while, social policies are completely updated. They do not work the way they work somewhat the way they used to. But now, some of the wonders that were stashed with text before have been moved into specific policy trees. So the only thing different with tradition was you got the Hanging Gardens. Liberty gets the pyramids. Honor got Statue of Zeus. It also added great generals being earned faster with warrior code. And construction of barracks, armories, and military academies were faster now with professional army.
And with Liberty, if you're playing as Venice, they will receive, of course, a merchant of Venice instead of a settler. The policy does say you get a free settler up here near the capital. So if that wasn't in there, if I was playing the Venetians, I'd be pretty ticked off.
Well, the other big thing with the early tech trees is now where you had some cultural things in piety, they've been spun off into aesthetics, which is totally new. And then piety was changed. It unlocks the Great Mosque of Tejen. If you adopt all policies in the piety tree, you now get a great profiteer and your holy sites provide +3 culture. We also now we don't have exclusivity with things. You know, so now if you have piety, you can have rationalism too. You can be religiously in science. So one of our new policies in piety is the Mandate of Heaven, which is a 20% discount on all purchases of religious units and buildings with faith, which is very nice, actually.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going through in faith, buying a lot of things like universities and things later with some of the other stuff. Also, if you get it early enough, you get your, whether you take like something like pagodas or mosques or something, and get them just a little bit faster.
Yeah, I prefer that to the, when you had the 50% of excess happiness added each turn to the amount of culture that may be spent on social policies, is what you had a Mandate of Heaven before.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good change. I mean, it's piety, and piety isn't about religion, so nice push for piety. You can get a lot of those faith-bought buildings much faster.
Yeah, 20% is nothing to sneeze at. Thank you.
But you did anyway.
Theocracy still increases temples' gold output by 10, it also makes holy sites provide +3 gold. So if you're sitting here and you took something like, say, Messiahs, and you were getting cheaper great profits, and you were spamming holy sites around your capital, because I've never done that, take this policy, suddenly, oh, hey, look, my economy is great now.
Yeah, I kind of feel like in and of itself that social policy is now quote-unquote worth it beyond saying I want to get to the end of the social policy tree.
Yeah, well, the 10% is kind of eh, unless you have a lot of gold on the ground already. But if you do have the Messiah plan and you're planting early profits, or, you know, you steal other people's profits and plant them yourself, the extra gold output can definitely fund an army if you need it. Or something else.
Yeah, and even if that's just your capital or your couple of biggest cities to get the 10% gold output, I'll take it. All right, religious tolerance. Cities with a majority religion also get the pantheon belief bonus of the second most popular religion, which that could be handy if, like, say, somebody beat you to desert folklore and you had a lot of deserts.
Yeah, I find that to be a pretty mixed bag. I am not a fan of this. Beyond this gets me closer to the end of the social policy tree. It's very situational.
Especially if you're concentrating on piety, you're not always letting in a second religion into your cities.
Well, I mean, if you have trade routes to somebody else's holy city or whatever, like capital to capital, then you're bound to get at least one follower of their religion in there. So you're almost guaranteed that there's going to be at least something. And if there's multiple religions found close to each other, they're going to be sharing followers. So it will happen. But yeah, it kind of depends on what they pick for their pantheon. If they pick something bad, then eh.
The best thing on piety, the end of the tree, Reformation. If you found a religion, gain a bonus Reformation belief. Fair fun stuff.
The religion changes. The key change, obviously, is Reformation. Each of them is powerful in their own way, depending on your situation. So you're not always going to want to take the same one over and over again. Probably one of the most powerful ones is Jesuit education, where you can use faith to buy your science buildings. That's pretty solid, especially if you didn't pick up one of the faith-bought buildings. Then you can at least use your faith for science buildings. There's other ones in there that boost your gold spending on city-states. So it's a tie-in to patronage and Diplo victory. There are ones that either reduce enemy prophets and inquisitors' effects on your religion or boost your effect on other people's religions. So your missionaries and prophets will reduce the natural spread pressure on others with one of the policies. And the other one, of course, being that it cuts in half. So you need like your two inquisitors or, you know, a couple of great prophets to have your religion removed. That could be good if there is an AI out there that is super spamming missionaries and prophets all over the place. At that point, they'll have to spend a lot more faith on that just to knock you down a little versus what you have right now, where they can just kick you out with a great prophet. There are other Reformation beliefs, like the missionary super army plan. That one's good. You can pick up Barbarians with a Missionary, and it's 100% conversion, which is really powerful. But if you have to go straight Piety to make that one useful, because the longer the game runs, the less barbs you're going to get. Walk up to them, and they'll convert, so you don't even have to do anything. So you can leave barb camps alone and just wait for them to move off of the barb camp and pick them up. Preferably use the Oracle to get to the Reformation belief. Then there are other ones that boost your religion. There's one where if your spies are in a city, then it'll boost the pressure that your religion gives.
Looking at that list, my favorite one in there, because I use this in one game that I played, was The Glory of God. Use faith to purchase any type of great person starting the industrial era.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter what policy trees you took, you can buy anybody. You've got three city states that want you to produce a great artist, like right now, boom, buy it. No, wait, those guys want an engineer, boom, buy it.
Yep. Actually, that one's really great if you go Liberty. Then you don't have to go Tradition just to get your engineers.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Commerce now gets you unlocking Big Ben, which makes sense. Your discount on buying things. Wagon trains, +2 gold from all your land trade routes.
It's when you start a new trade route. So it doesn't kick in right away.
Trade unions. Maintenance paid on roads and railroads reduced by 50%. You might not think that's a lot, but honestly, you put a lot in maintenance, especially if you have a place where you have to build a lot of roads to get to places. It's nice.
Quote unquote used to be just 33%, plus a harbor and seaport gaining +1 gold. But stuff like that got moved around elsewhere, just like what wagon trains replaced got moved elsewhere. We'll get to that.
Yeah. Yeah, entrepreneurship. Great merchants earn 25% faster. Well, yeah, you're in commerce. You'd kind of want your great merchants faster. Mercantilism is the same. Protection was changed to give you +2 happiness from every luxury resource.
Oh, that's so much better.
Yeah. We always love protectionism in commerce anyway. Now we love it even more.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just double.
Hey, if you're making a super white empire, you get lots of luxuries. That's 2 per luxury resource, which effectively drops the cost of cities down to 1 happiness if you're keeping under the number of luxuries, like number of cities is equal to number of unique luxuries you have. So that makes for a very nice wide empire.
Don't I know it.
Patronage has a few changes here. First off, you get the Forbidden Palace. But it unlocks for you. Also, they change that now adopting all policies in the patronage tree will cause allied city-states to occasionally give you great people and no longer causes the other players' influence with city-states to decrease.
Thank you on that latter part. That was really obnoxious.
Especially with Alex.
5 civs have finished patronage. Well, so much for influence.
Pretty much.
I guess I better go take him out. Or just live with it.
Merchant Confederacy, +1 gold for trade routes with city-states. Yes.
Tell us how you really feel there, sir. You know,
there's an area like you're surrounded by city-states and that's your best trade routes because it's too far to get to another civ.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. It's kind of like in the later game. Oh, let's see. I could go from +7 to +8. Yay! Or I could go to this civ and get like +25 or +30.
Yeah, exactly.
Gee, I don't know. I like to handicap myself on these games, so let's go for it. No.
Plus you get science out of trade routes to major civs.
Exactly.
Patronage used to always be pretty solid and never really need adjustments. And with this change, patronage needs to be balanced again. It's a little weaker than it used to be.
A change.
Will not do us any good. Rationalism. Your unlockable building for this is the Porcelain Tower. As we discussed earlier with Piety, they are no longer mutually exclusive, which is nice. Humanism has been changed to great scientists to earn 25% faster, which makes sense. It's like the thing we just had in commerce with the great merchants being 25% faster. Sovereignty now is +1 gold from science buildings. Well, you're going to build science buildings anyway. I guess it kind of helps pay for their maintenance.
The big change for rationalism, well, there's 2 big changes. One is the finisher only gives you 1 free tech rather than 2.
Yep.
That's 1 big change. And the second big change was that the increased science from universities plus trading posts was moved off to the right side of the rationalism tree. You know, the side that no one ever went unless they were finishing rationalism.
So now you're encouraging you to use the full tree.
Yeah. So instead of the left side having everything booster science and you blatantly ignore the other side, now you have a choice. You can either go up the left side, get the specialist science and the extra gold, and then the research agreement booster, or you can go up the left side and get your universities and trading post giving you more science.
Well, now you have a meaningful choice.
Yeah, and if you want it all, you're going to finish rationalism early, which means you're not saving the finisher of rationalism for, you know, the...
boost yourself into, like, nuclear fission or something?
Yeah, basically. I guess it might depend on if you actually build the porcelain tower. Depends on which way you would want to go with that.
And your science boost for adopting rationalism is now 10% instead of 15, which...
Yeah.
I understand why they made that change. It's definitely not underpowered now. It was, quote-unquote, a little on the stronger side than maybe it should have been, so I'm fine with that change.
It's still strong, because that 10%...
Oh, it's still strong.
The 10% goes against everything, so it's a total global boost.
Yeah, just make sure you have a decent science-generating infrastructure, because it is a percentage-based, so if you want to notice a particular change, a notable change right away, be ready for it.
Two big new trees. Well, we discussed earlier, piety used to be kind of also the culture tree, but now that is the job of aesthetics. You don't get that until classical. When you adopt aesthetics, it allows you to earn those great writers, artists, musicians 25% faster. It's the policy tree that gets the Ufuzi, which we were talking about earlier. Adopting all the policies doubles the theming bonus you receive from your museums and wonders. So, like, if you have Broadway or the Louvre and such, and you put your theming in there, then you get even more theming stuff. It also allows you later on to purchase the great writers, artists, or musicians with faith, starting in the industrial era. And its first one is culture centers. So you can construct monuments, amphitheaters, opera houses, museums, and broadcast towers 50% faster, which, yeah, you kind of want to if you're trying to do culture.
It's really good, especially if you have puppets, because they love building those things.
Exactly. They'll build them for you, and they'll build them faster, and then get back to the important stuff. The 50% excess happiness added each turn to the amount of culture that may be spent on social policies. It's just been renamed to fine arts and stuck in aesthetics. It used to be Mandate of Heaven. Flourishing of the arts. Culture is increased by 33% in all cities which have built a world wonder, and the empire immediately enters a golden age.
That also got borrowed from piety.
Yep. Artistic genius. A great artist appears.
Boom.
So social policy, free great artist. I would want to take that last, honestly.
Yeah, that's pretty much my thought line on it. Unless you have a slot that you absolutely need, because there are a couple wonders in the earlier game, like in the Renaissance, that requires you to have all your, you know, your great artists, and they all have to be from the same era. So if you naturally generated one or two and you need three, you might want to pick it while you're in that era just to get the theming bonus from it.
Yeah, if you know that the next one's not coming before you hit the next era.
Yeah, otherwise, who cares? Do it last.
And last thing, ethics, which reduces the culture cost of future policies by 10%. We always love things like that.
Hey, look, I can get more social policies.
Yes, more policies. And if you're going culture, well, hey, you want all the policies you can stuff in your social thing.
Though it's not the point anymore.
No, there are other things, but it's very helpful. Our other new, mostly new policy tree is exploration.
Yes, I've been waiting for this. Sorry, I kind of
zoned
out on aesthetics. I can't help but zone out on aesthetics. I'm sorry. Anyway, all hate mail.
Yeah, Dan likes to roll his face and he doesn't care about culture.
Yeah. He's an uncouth scad.
Why should I care about culture? I just take over the world and they'll enjoy it.
You will enjoy being taken over. Anyway, it has some elements that came from commerce, but also some new things to go along with the, well, exploration, because we have stuff. It enhances your ability to spread your empire over the seas, as it says its purpose. Adopting it gives you +1 movement for naval units and +1 sight for naval combat units. Which, can we have both? I want my caravels to have better sight range, come on. This is, though, a tree that unlocks building the Louvre now. So you will see, I mean, I do it a lot of the time. I may not go down the entire tree, but I'll take that initial policy because really I want the Louvre. Adopting all policies allows you to see hidden antiquity sites. So if there weren't enough on the map already, you dig up a few more. And also, unless the AI's gone all the way up the tree, they can't see these other ones and steal them from you.
Mm-hmm. Though they do have a good likelihood to actually show up in other people's territories. So you still get in trouble.
Yes. Stop taking our artifacts. Okay. Yoink. It also allows for the purchase of great admirals with faith starting in the industrial era. And you can't unlock it until the medieval era. That's also an important point. Policies within here. Maritime infrastructure, which is +3 production in all coastal cities. Didn't we have this under a different name in old commerce?
Yeah, it was Merchant Navy.
Ah, that's right, because Merchant Navy's down here with a different thing. Matter of fact, I'll go ahead and do that one. +1 gold for each harbor, seaport, or lighthouse. I guess if you were going exploration, you already had a heavy coastal empire anyway.
Yeah, it does require maritime infrastructure and naval tradition, so it...
Yeah, it's further down, but...
Yeah, I don't hit that one as often as some of the other ones.
Yeah, naval tradition is now +1 happiness for each harbor, seaport, or lighthouse. That's a little more important.
Yes. After getting exploration, I would often pick up that one first, or maritime infrastructure. It really depends in part. Oh, I've got quite a few coastal cities. Their production's kind of but most of the time I'll go for the happiness and then the infrastructure one. And then Merchant Navy. We kind of mentioned the ones that I particularly enjoy. If you don't go the whole tree.
Yeah. Let's see. Navigation school. Great admiral appears, and you get +2 movement for all your great admirals, and you earn them 25% faster. Well, if you were doing some sea battles, that would be more important, I suppose. It's also good if you wanted to just get, if you were having trouble getting to, oddly enough, astronomy. You know what I mean. To get caravels, you could pop the Great Admiral early, because he can go sailing. And the last thing is treasure fleets. +4 gold from all your sea trade routes. Yes, please. Like, sea is already better, and this is just, like, even more better.
Because you need Merchant Navy for that one. But for me, by the time you get that, I mean, it's nice, but it's just kind of like, oh, I went from, like, +25 gold per turn to +29.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not terrible, but I'm not doing cartwheels over it. I guess I'm doing cartwheels because I'm getting to the end of exploration now.
Yeah, and you're going to get the antiquity test. That's what you're happy about.
No.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. When it comes to antiquity sites, I always take the landmark. We had some feedback, and I do want to address that.
No.
I want to address it. I think I know why Imagine said no, because the first comment is directed to him. See, he knows exactly where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Beat Tycho, past guest, said, little background, Imagine was kind of when it comes to Japan, and that's the technical term. He says, Imagine, zeros are only broken because fighters in general have very little tactical use at their cost versus bombers, position late in the tech tree, and lack of AI air power, which is beginning to change. Japan only suffers until the point at which the developers decide they actually want to build fighters. Oh, and to go with that.
No, zeros suffer because the whole point of their existence is benefit versus other fighters. And they don't do damage versus other fighters if they're on intercept and air sweep, i.e. the whole point you're using them for. You only do damage versus other fighters, generally, although there is minimal amount. On fighter versus fighter battles, when somebody's on intercept and you're dumb enough to use them for ranged attacks, that's the only point in time. So the two primary uses for a fighter being intercept and air sweep, the zero gets nothing out of. That's why it's crap. So when the developers get around to fixing that so that intercepts and air sweeps actually damage each other, so that the promotions you take for more intercept or more air sweep defenses actually matter, once that is fixed, then the zero will have a proper place in the game. Otherwise, it's just a fighter and not unique at all.
There's actually a comment directed to me, even though I'm not mentioned specifically, from Stars TX.
Hey, I'll read it since it's a Texas guy anyway, right?
Well, this is true.
He had a couple of questions discussed during the show. You mentioned that you disabled start bias when you played. He wondered what your personal reasons were for doing this, because he normally plays random personality, and he started off with disabling start bias, but he shortly after he quit, because he's always worried if he disables that, if he's either going to completely hurt himself or an AI opponent from the start by not taking advantage. Like, you know how Egypt likes to have the desert floodplains and all that?
To address the completely hurt myself or an AI, firstly, you will handle it better than the AI, I would hope. It doesn't completely hurt, and even hurt, I'm kind of, I think that's a bit strong. It can hinder them a little bit. Why I do it is for the variety. Now, disabling the start bias, it is possible that they will start and they will have their start bias. It's very unlikely. Just kind of random. Oh, look at that. You got it anyway. But the reason I did that, and I also play with random personalities, is just for that change. And it actually has more to do with my playing the civilization. Oh, look at that. I've started as civilization X and look where I'm located. I know what it is that I'm going to be doing because I am going to be using that ability right away. And that's fine for a while, but I like that change. If there is a way to say I'll disable my start bias, but the AI can still have theirs without modding or anything like that, the AI can use all the help it can get. It can, but really, I just enjoy the variety of it. I do occasionally turn start bias back on, and I certainly didn't start playing that game that way. And every single time an expansion came out, there was a period of about a week or two where I actually put start bias back on to see, it's been a while since I've been at it. I'll come back to it, but I inevitably go back to disabling start bias for myself in single player. And if I host a multiplayer game, short of an absolute outrage from other people playing with me, I will keep start bias disabled.
Yeah. Yeah. And his other question was about Fatorias, which I guess it could go to anybody, not just Dan. He's wondering, he's asking, maybe I missed something, but he built Fatorias everywhere. And his understanding was he gets one copy of the lecture for being a friend and two copies for being an ally with the CS. He said, when I was friends, I got the happiness, but nothing showed up in the trade screen. When he was allied with City State, he didn't see any difference or notice another copy that he could trade. So it felt like there's no purpose in being an ally. Is he completely missing something or is it a bug?
No, he got it right. Well, the one thing that he did miss is that the Fatoria gives you a copy of their luxuries, City State has, but it's not for you to trade. It's just to give you a copy. So when you become an ally, you do actually have multiple copies of it at that point, but you can't trade multiple copies, which also means that, you know, if you have two City States that both have die, you only need to build a Fatoria in one to get access to the die.
And then one final comment from episode 179.
Question by SteveG700. Just got through listening. I think Morocco got off with a pretty generous appraisal. Sure, anything's groovy if you can combine it with Petra, but the Cosbots on their own are pretty iffy. About the time you get them, you're not too far from trading posts getting their bumps. Economy and free thought. I'm undecided on the unique ability until I can figure out how much gold it's really worth. Even with +3 gold thrown in as an incentive to diversify your outs, a lot of time, it's better to send ships to one powerhouse, like some city with Colossus and East India Company, and simply base them from different cities in your empire. It attracts trade to you, though, which may well be the true benefit. I like the UU, although I don't think it can use the fort bonus that the Cosbot gives, which means there's a lack of synergy mentioned in the podcast. Of course, it's got two nice bonuses that stack, so it does just fine on its own.
I don't think we gave Morocco a generous appraisal.
Top tier!
And the reason for that is, I know he talks about, you know, everything's groovy, you can combine the Cosbot with the Petra, but you don't even need that. That's just like putting icing on the cake. Really, each, the unique unit and the unique ability and the unique improvement all on their own. Of course, now I'm thinking about when Star Bias is disabled. It's so funny that took time. But honestly, on their own, such a bastard, apparently. But honestly, all those things on their own, that's what makes Morocco such a strong civ. That you could have one of those taken away, or you could have one not be particularly strong. And of course, there's always exceptions. Well, I'm fighting, you know, Civilization X. They're right next door, and they're doing this, and they're doing that. But generally speaking, you take one of those away or you diminish one in some capacity and the others are still strong. So they're pretty versatile.
I'll have to check on the fort bonus, but horse units don't get terrain bonuses. They don't get the defensive terrain bonus, but that's terrain. That's not fort. So, you know, if you attack a horse unit with a great general around, they still get that bonus. They still get the bonus for flanking. They still get other bonuses, et cetera, et cetera.
Call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659.
That's 301-637-POLY.
In Europe, 44-121-288-7659. That's 44-121-288-POLY.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Polycast,
our sibling shows Modcast, Revcast, and Turncast,
or about Polycast in general,
Log on to the series' official website at thepolycast.net.
I think you just need to roleplay for spite, yeah.
Did you say roleplay or cosplay?
Roleplay, not cosplay. I'm running around carrying a shield and a spear and wearing some ridiculous hat.
I go out that way on a routine basis. Best worn at mall.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that was you on the news last night?
No, they never catch me.
No, I didn't say they have caught you, but you were on the news. They didn't actually catch you, though.
Oh, well,
still at large, right?
I stopped following the news, though.
They didn't stop following you.
Well, sure. But, I mean, how many times do I want to see myself on television dressed up as an impy?
Like you haven't counted. Anyway.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about the Great Depression.
The heck? Yeah, there's,
I think when you start hearing the keyboard of death, or a keyboard of death, it's time to end the show.
Was it that loud?
Yes.
I'm sorry, this is a laptop. It's usually not that loud. I guess the mic's just too close.
Playing drums in the background here.
For a moment, I thought, was your knight in shining armor coming up to your house and you're listening to the horse? Is it on your lawn?
Yeah.
Anyway. On that note, if we are ending, then that is my job, mine. It's been Polycast episode 181. I am the Mian team, and I have some costumes that we can wear to the mall together if anyone's interested. We probably won't go to jail. And I was joined today by Dan Q.
Commerce. Go nothing but commerce.
Makalua.
I still need more caffeine for this.
And Majin.
Yeah, if you're going to go to the mall with Phil, remember to bring your own loincloth.
You can borrow mine. Oh, I see.
Just make certain you have an exit strategy. Mm-hmm. Know where all the exits are clearly marked.
Yeah, we don't want to put those 2 movement points to waste.
3 even.
5. I'm a Comanche rider.
It's rough terrain, so... Yeah, that usually came up when you were using nukes and paratroopers.
Yeah, and that sound we heard in the background, it's not a fire engine, no.
Nope.
That was the world reminding us about how awful that bug was.
Yep.
And don't do it!
Check it.
And everyone wants to stay in a hotel there.
Hotel where?
California. Such a lovely place.
We will not sing Hotel California at this time, but it's tempting.
What? Dancing we won't sing? What?
What? Dan?
No, Mackie brought it up, see, so it's not as fun.
Lyric quoting is one thing. Besides, we're talking about hotels. It's perfectly relevant.
There's also All the Gold in California. Okay.
Isn't it a bank in the middle of Beverly Hills? Somebody else's name? Let's see. Banking gives us an additional trade right now, other than the fact that banking is useful because banks... We always want more money.
And you can take that to the bank.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I apologize right away.
You know that Dan knows it's bad when he apologizes right away.
Have you looked at a map lately?
The only map I see has all the cities belonging to me, so it's all the same.
True enough.
Which ones do you take if you're not taking them all?
The good ones.
Which I'm certain we will have a debate over about what those are, so bring your controversy to next episode.
We're bringing Phil, right? So that should be good enough.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to generate a variable mix of controversy.
Well, yeah, Phil doesn't have to say or do anything. That is his special ability.
My mere presence is controversy.
Cute.
Why do people still have Phil?
Again with the Venetians.
What, are you saying they're okay, Dan?
No, I'm saying we talk about them way too much on this show. I'll get over it.
You just need to play and win as Venice, and then you'll understand.
Venice.
Marsha.
And yes, we make references to really old shows because we're old. Anyway.
Speak for yourself.
I'm younger than you. What?
That later stage.
Record date August 24th, 2013. Civilization 4 and 5 sound clips, copyright Take 2 Interactive.
Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.